I want to talk to you this afternoon on a topic entitled Undeniable Prayer. Undeniable Prayer. I'm going to talk for the next few times that we get together on what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Now, the reason why that's important for us to grasp is because Jesus said that anything that you ask in my name, I will do it. So if somebody had ever given me a treasure map and they said to me, if you follow this map closely, if you follow it accurately, if you follow it precisely, it will lead you to treasures untold, then I am going to learn that map. I am going to master that map. And if Jesus gives this one caveat, anything that you pray in my name, I will do it. And you know he's not exaggerating, and you know he can't lie. He said, anything that you pray in my name, I will do it. I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to unravel that concept in my name. And when we think about the moment in which Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, anything that you ask in my name, I will do it, we are reminded that it was a moment in which they were going to move into some of the most difficult times they would ever experience. Times more difficult than they could have even imagined at that time, because up until that time, they had seen maybe a wee bit of opposition and so on and so forth to the name of the Lord, but they had not seen anything like what they were about to see. Jesus was about to go to the cross. And of course, he would be raised on the third day, but then he would send them out, according to his own words, as sheep among the wolves. They were going to need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit just so that they could lay their lives down for his cause. He said to them at a certain point that you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you so that you may be my martyrs, that you may lay your life down for people that you love and for people that you've not yet learned to love, both the people in Jerusalem and Judea and the people in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. They were going to go into a time of trial unlike anything they could have possibly considered. Now, consider at first, they're walking with Jesus, wonderful things happening, signs and wonders, glorious teachings. He's feeding with just a handful of food. He's showing them that God is in the midst and God is doing some wonderful things. And even though they were still young in their understanding, they were old enough to realize that this was a new season in human history. And for Jesus to say something to them like, anything you ask me in my name, I will do it, It would have been nice, you know, the thought, wow, it would be nice if every now and again I go into a little bit of a difficult time, or it would be nice if every now and again I see something that I like or something that I want. It would be nice to be able to pray, but he's not doing it that way. He's not saying everything is wonderful and everything is moving in the rate that you would like it to move. He's saying you are about to go into some of the most difficult times conceivable, times that you did not believe could exist. Remember what he said. He said, if they're doing this in a green tree, imagine what they're going to do in a dry. He's saying, look, you see what they're doing to me now, and this is a wonderful moment. Imagine what they're going to do when we start to move into battle. So up until that time, for 3 years, he was training them to war. They were basically in boot camp. And now he's saying, you are about to move into battle. And then he says, anything that you ask in my name, I will do. That means everything that you need, anything that you need for any kind of occasion, for any kind of difficulty, for times of persecution, for times of need, for times of want, for times of loneliness, for times of fear, anything that you ask in my name, I will provide it. There will not be one thing that you need, one thing that you lack. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. There will not be one thing that you need, and all you have to do is ask in my name. So this is the reality of that kind of a prayer. It's not the kind of prayer that James talks about where he says we pray to lavish it upon our own desires. And it's not the in Jesus' name that you hear about in the book of Acts where somebody pronounces in the name of Jesus and the enemy says, I don't know who you are. It's not that kind of in Jesus' name where in Jesus' name becomes some kind of incantation or some kind of lucky charm or some kind of sign off at the end of our prayer. It is a life lived for the glory of God in the midst of difficult times for the sake of witnessing to God's world. And so the Lord begins with this idea that anything you pray in my name, I will do. And of course, that whets our curiosity. We begin to ask, then what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? What is incorporated in that concept? And it begins, of course, with the idea of praying according to his merit. That means that when you and I go through our difficult times, and think about the disciples. They're about to move into difficult times, and as they begin to move into those difficult times, the first thing that they do is run and hide. The first thing that they do is fear. The first thing that they do is capitulate to cowardice. Just like we all do the first couple of times we get into some serious warfare. And we can say at that stage, I can't come back. I can't pray. I can't expect victory because I messed up. You see, Jesus, we heard about it this morning from our pastor, where Jesus comes to the disciples after they had run away, after they had gone back fishing and so on and so forth, and he began to minister to them because it is not ultimately about their merit. It's not about their goodness. It's not about their capacity to keep themselves. It's not about their capacity to maintain themselves in time of significant trial. It is about the merit of Jesus Christ. It is ultimately about what Jesus Christ has done. It's about who he is. And so when you and I go through difficult times, and sometimes we don't fare as well as we would have liked, we can either say, then God can't hear me anymore, or we can say, God, I am sorry. I put everything that I am on the merit of Jesus Christ. I didn't do it the way that I thought that I would. You remember how Peter was saying to the Lord, I don't care if everybody leaves you. I am going to be with you. I am not going to turn away. I don't care if everybody denies you. I will never deny you. And the Lord is saying to him, yes, you will deny me. And he said, no, I deny that. I'll never deny you and that kind of a thing. And it comes to a point where at some point we begin to realize that we don't have the strength to keep any promises to God. The best thing to do is appropriate all of the promises of God, which are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. It is about his merit. It is about his goodness. This is why Paul is able to say in Romans 5:2, through whom, that is through Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into grace. In other words, we can always go to God. Not because of our own merit, not because of our own goodness, not because of how we fare during difficult times, but by the fact that Jesus fared very well during a difficult time. When it was time for him to go to the cross, he went to the cross. He had to go through Gethsemane. He had to weep. He had to cry. He had to cling to God. He had to say, this is too much for me. This cup is too much for me. But by God's grace, we can say, Jesus fared very well in a difficult time. And so even if I'm not as good as I thought I was when I have to face serious trial, I don't have to say that means God won't hear me. That God is exasperated with me, that God is sick and tired of me, that God is fed up with me. I can say it's not about my merit. It's not about how well I've done. It's about what Jesus has done. And I can always go to God and say, Lord, I messed up. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he didn't just say, oh, that's okay. He begins to wash us. He begins to cleanse us. He begins to change us. He begins to develop us. He begins to empower us. But it's all based upon the fact that we don't turn tail and run. We run to God rather than from God, because it is about his merit. It's about his goodness. It's about his cross. And praying in Jesus' name means praying based upon the fact that we know that God is for us, that what Jesus did, he did for us. We also pray according to his mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. That means we have the indwelling spirit, the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches us how to pray according to the character of God. So I'm not asking God to do things that are contrary to his character. I'm not asking God. Oftentimes we want to pray, God, just bring me out of this difficulty. And yet the Lord will say that I need this difficulty in your life, because it's going to get you in a place where you are not dependent on your own strength. It's going to get you to a place where you can relate to the difficulties in other people's lives. It's going to get you into a place where you recognize that God can keep you even in the most difficult times. It's going to get you into a place where you begin to cry out to God like you never did before. It's going to get you into a place where you can be a light in a dark world, where you can be salt in this earth. It's going to get you to a place where you can actually make a difference. If we never had to go into battle, if we never had to suffer, if we never had to struggle, we would have absolutely nothing to say to this generation. There would be no way with which we can relate. And we need to be reminded that sometimes, instead of saying, God, get me out of this, we pray, God, get glory out of this. Do whatever it takes to cause your name to be glorified. If you need somebody to speak a word in communities where I would rather not live because, you know, this is not the nicest neighborhood or this is not the nicest community, yet God needs light there. I'd rather not work in this particular office or that particular office because they're cussing and they're this and they're that, but God needs light there. Amen. I'd rather not have to go to the doctor, but there's some sick people that don't know Jesus there. And we have got to remind ourselves that we are not exempt from life situations, but we have been given a victory over them. That means that we can walk in victory no matter where we are. And basically what the Holy Spirit is saying is, I want you to pray according to the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Remember what it says in Philippians, that was in Jesus, how that he laid aside his glory so that he might identify with suffering human beings, even to the point where he went to a cross. This is the mind of God. And the Bible says we have the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ because of the indwelling spirit. So when we're praying in Jesus' name, we're not saying, God, keep me from the battle. We're saying, God, give me victory in the battle. We're saying, God, let me fight this fight the way it needs to be fought. We're saying, God, give me courage. Give me strength. Give me boldness. Don't let me turn away from the call that's on my life. Rather than praying the way oftentimes people are taught to pray on some of those TV shows, where they're told to pray that you never go through struggle, you never go through difficulty, you never go through hardship. When we pray, we're praying according to the mind of Christ, but we're also praying according to the method of Christ. The method that he set down when he was talking about prayer to God, in contrast to the prayers that were being prayed by the Pharisees, where everything was, from their perspective, everything was pristine. Everything was perfect. They stood a certain way. They dressed a certain way. They recited a certain way. Not the kind of prayer that you pray when you're in battle. Not the kind of prayer that you pray in moments of desperation. Not the kind of prayers that you pray when the needs are pressing. Not the kind of prayers that you pray when you're in the olive press. Not those kind of prayers. But Jesus said, when you pray, your prayers are not going to be pristine. They're not going to be street corner prayers. They're not going to be the long robes and the phylacteries on the forehead kind of prayers. They're going to be the kind of prayers that people pray in the battlefield. They're going to be the kind of prayers that people pray in war. You're going to be crying out and reminding yourself that God is your Father and that His name is holy and that His kingdom has come and that His will is being done both on earth as it is in heaven. You're going to be reminding yourself that God is God on earth, God is God in heaven, that the heavens are His throne, that the earth is His footstool, that God is your Father, that God is going to give you your daily bread. He's going to provide for you day in and day out. You're going to pray the kinds of prayers that says, God, help me to forgive because I'm going through difficulties and sometimes violence comes from ways and from directions I never expected. Help me to forgive. Help me to forgive as I'm engaging in warfare. Don't let me fight the fights of the flesh. Don't let me fight the carnal battles. Remind me that our fights are spiritual, that we're fighting against principalities and powers. Help me to forgive. Help me to forgive. Help me to forgive. Protect me from the evil one. Don't let him overwhelm me. Say to him, this far and no farther. Lord, you know how to protect me. Because that's the kind of prayers that you and I pray when we are in battle. It's the kind of prayers that you and I pray when we are fighting for God's glory. When we are engaging in that thing that only the Holy Spirit can lead us into. You will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my martyrs. You will be my witnesses. You will be my warriors. You will minister to people that you like, and you will minister to people that you don't like. You will be God's people in a war-torn society, making a difference in a world that you and I never expected would ever exist. 20 years ago, I could have never seen what we see in our generation. I could have never foreseen what we experience in this time. And brothers and sisters, it's just going to get worse. But we are going to get better. We are going to get stronger. We are going to become more engaged. We are going to pray in Jesus' name. Pray according to His method. Pray according to His model. The first one is known as the Lord's Prayer. This one is known as the High Priestly Prayer in John 17, where Jesus is about to go to the cross. And we watch that kind of prayer because He told us that we are going to take up our cross every day. And He told us that the student is never, ever greater than the teacher. In other words, the same thing that He experienced, we're experiencing. And when He washed the disciples' feet with His towel, He said, you see what I'm doing? He said, you call me Lord and teacher, and rightly so. He said, this is the kind of thing that I want you to do. But you got to be able to pray in Jesus' name to be a servant. You and I have got to be able to pray in Jesus' name to pray in the times when we are moving toward persecution and prosecution. As we're moving closer and closer to the more difficult days, we still have to be able to wash each other's feet. And we still have to be able to pray for unity the way Jesus prayed for unity. We still have to be able to say, God, keep us one, keep us together. You know how sometimes when you get really frustrated, you get really tired, you tend to kind of isolate a little bit. But you remember the Bible says about Jesus, in the same night in which He was betrayed, He broke bread. In the same night in which He was betrayed, He gave Himself. He reminded His friends that He was still for them. Even extended to Judas one more opportunity for mercy. So you see Him praying as He's about to go to that cross. And He takes a few of His friends with Him. And even though they have some difficulty staying awake and so on and so forth, He keeps coming back, waking them up, coming back, waking them up, praying for unity, praying for them, praying for Himself, praying for the glory of God, praying for all disciples and not just the 12 apostles. And just this whole idea, this model of prayer, this model of prayer in Jesus' name that says, this is the way you pray in a world like ours. This is the way you pray when you're living for God. This is the way you pray when you take up your cross daily. This is not those pristine prayers with the these and the thous. Don't get me wrong. I love the King James. I grew up on it. But you understand? It's not about the pristine prayers that are in a corner somewhere that never goes out into battle. Praying in Jesus' name happens on the battlefield. Don't get me wrong. I love the secret closet. You see what I'm saying? But in my spirit, even in the secret closet, I'm waging war. Waging war against the lies of the enemy. Waging war for the souls of God's people. Waging war for the lost who have no hope. Waging war against my own flesh. And so I pray this kind of prayer based on Christ's model. Sometimes I'm at Gethsemane saying, God, this cup is too much for me. I can't do this. Other times I'm saying, Lord, let your glory be known in the earth. Let people know who you are. Other times I'm saying, Lord, let there be unity. Let there be unity. Let there be unity among God's people and so on and so forth. When you look at the high priestly prayer in the book of John in the 17th chapter, you'll see a wonderful pattern for praying as you're moving to the cross. And then finally, prayer according to his might. Prayer according to his merit, according to his mind, according to his method, according to his model, according to his might. In the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, I'll just read a portion from verse 31. It says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Now, you know the scenario. They had been doing good things. They had been helping people. They put themselves on the line so that they could make a difference in somebody else's life. They prayed for people beyond what people had asked for. One guy wanted an offering from them, and they gave him basically a new lease on life. Not in their own strength, they made that clear. They said, what we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. And because they were doing the right thing, because they were living for God, and because they were helping other people, they got in trouble. And people began to persecute them. And then they began to prosecute them. In other words, first they came against them as people who were causing trouble in Israel and so on and so forth. And then they began to incarcerate them, throw them in prison. But they let them go after a certain moment, and then they, the disciples, went back to the Christian group and they said, this is too much for us. We're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to help people. We're trying to make a difference. We're trying to live right. They might say, if they were in our generation, we're trying to live right on our job. We're trying to live right in our schools. We're trying to live right among our families. We're trying to do the right thing. And it seems like when we do, we come under persecution. So they get together and they begin to pray. And when you read that prayer in Acts 4, you're going to realize that they're not saying, Lord, do what you can to get us out of this. Because they knew they were made for this. They knew they were created for this. They were warriors. The Lord told them, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Because remember, that question to the Lord was, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? And his answer to them was, yes, and you're it. Right? You're the ones that I'm going to use. And let me show you how I'm going to do it. You're going to lay your lives down for people that you like and people that you don't. So they're doing that. And they are first persecuted and then prosecuted. And then they begin to pray. And they already know that they pray according to Christ's merit. They know that they pray according to his mind. They know what his method is. They have seen his model. So they begin to pray according to his might. And they begin to remind themselves that they were already told what was going to happen to Jesus. They begin to say things like, your word tells us that people would rise up. Your word tells us, you know, why do the heathen rage and the peoples or the nations conspire? against the Lord and against his anointed. They said, we were foretold of this. We knew it was going to happen. He said, and now it's happening. Herod and Pilate, people who didn't even like each other, have become buddies so that they can strive against God's house. And that's what we're seeing in our generation. People who would ordinarily not even speak to each other are coming together so that they can strive against God's house. And they began to say, but we have something to say in this generation. And we're asking you to give us boldness. We're asking you to make us courageous. Any fear that would try to rise up, we're coming against it in prayer. Any propensity toward self-preservation that could slow down the work of God, we're asking you to give us a victory over it. And then when they began to pray that kind of prayer, not the kind that says, protect me from involvement, but protect me from defeat. Protect me from cowardice. Protect me from fear. Protect me from turning back. When they began to pray that kind of prayer, when they began to say, I know that this is my calling. I know that this is my job. I know that this is my responsibility. I know that I'm supposed to be salt. I know that I'm supposed to be light. I know that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. This world has no other hope. It has no other defense. We are that which stands, not only between the enemy and the society, but between God's wrath, his just wrath, and an impenitent world. We're the ones who stand in the gap. We're the only hope for this society. I'm not interested in how they try to relegate us to irrelevance. They're wrong. We are not simply another fringe religion. We are the sons and daughters of God. We are the hope for this generation. So we cannot be silent. We cannot hold our peace. So they began to pray according to the might of God. God, let me do my part. Let me say my thing. Let me go forth in your name. Let me help somebody. Let me reach out for somebody. Let me preach to somebody. Let me feed somebody. Let me pray for somebody. Let me be there for somebody, as we heard this morning, even if it means just sitting next to them in the park. Help me to help somebody. Give me courage. Give me boldness. Loosen my lips. Put a fire in my bosom. The baton is in our hands, brothers and sisters. And like I always say, I don't want to get to heaven and have to duck into doorways and into corners every time I see Peter and Paul and Mary and Martha walking down the streets of gold, because they got a story and I don't. I got something to say, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We all got something to say. So we pray, according to God's might, give me boldness. And the Bible says that when they began to pray, that place was shaken. They knew that God was with them. They knew that God was leading them into battle. I wonder if it sounded like a trumpet. I wonder if they could feel, as David was told one time, whenever he was about to go into battle, the Lord said to him, when you hear the sound of the Lord going over the top of the mulberry trees, and he's basically saying, when you see my army on the move, you just start marching. When you sense that God is doing something, you just get into ranks and you start moving. It doesn't matter now because God is with us. It doesn't matter now because God is on the move. It doesn't matter what they say in the media. Doesn't matter what they say in the colleges. Doesn't matter what they say on the street. God is on the move. is on the move. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to his name. Glory to his name. So we pray according to his might. We pray according to his model. We pray according to his method. We pray according to his mind. We pray according to his merit. Because he said, anything you ask in my name, anything you ask in my name, especially in this battle, I will do it. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory to his name. Hallelujah. If God is speaking to you, and you're saying, Lord, I want to go into this battle. I want to do my part. And you and I know we don't do anything in our own strength. But I want to be able to ask you for whatever I need to reach out to my neighbor, to reach out to my brother, reach out to my sister. As we heard this morning, it's not always about preaching or teaching. It's sometimes about just sitting next to somebody. I said, I want to be there with you. Sometimes I say, look, I don't have the words, but I have the presence, and I have love for you, and I want to be with you. If you're saying, Brother Will, I just want to do my part, whatever that is. So I need to be able to receive everything that God has for me, everything that he's prepared for me for this battle. I just want to pray in Jesus' name. And I would love for you to come to the front of this auditorium. We're just going to pray together in Jesus' name. God, give me the grace to go forward. Give me the grace to help. Give me the grace to care. Take away all fear. And let me serve you in this generation. If that's you, please follow the ones who are coming. We'll pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come to you based on your revelation to us. You showed us who you are. And then you told us, if you recognize me in prayer, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, if you allow your prayers to be directed by my revealed character, that you will never lack anything. No matter what your battle, no matter what your struggle, you will never lack anything. Lord, we know that you are always more willing and ready to do than we are able to ask or think. So we're going to ask you, Holy Spirit, to lead us into the name of Christ. Now, you've already immersed us into that name. We've been baptized into Christ. Now, would you just unveil all of the glorious treasure that is Christ Jesus. We have been made co-heirs with Christ. And we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to teach us what that means over this life. Just unveil, unravel, Lord, layer after layer of God's great love for us, God's great provision, God's great protection, God's wonderful desire to speak into our lives, even tender chastisement that keeps us pure and holy. Help us, Jesus. But I pray for my brothers and sisters. And I just ask you to lay your hand upon each one. God, you are glorious in the midst. We know that you love us. We know that you're with us. We know that you would never leave us in our struggles alone. We have you, and we have one another. Help us to trust you more, to love you more, to tenderly embrace you more. This is a gift that comes from you. A daily experience with you. Lord, thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Thank you that not only do we look to you, but we can lock shields together and engage in this battle. You showed us how to pray for unity. And we thank you that we are a united people. But I thank you for our pastor. Thank you for a man who, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who, like a tender shepherd, leads us. Not going too fast, not too slow. Keeps us together, keeps us as a family. And who leads us into battle, who teaches us, Lord, the imperative of prayer. Lord, who speaks out into this generation and reminds people it's time to pray. God, God, help us. Bring us back to this place on a Tuesday night so that we can wage war. We can fight for men and women, fight for souls, fight for one another. God, in Jesus' name, what a joy it is to live in this generation. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we love each other. And we love the lost. Help us to help somebody. We thank you. We bless you. We praise you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.